Alright, let's go. Alright.
So we're carrying legs itself of the table.
No, what we're talking about from the table. From the table in Makadesh. The table is what's doing the Kedusha. So the table is the tabletop. The question is the tabletop beneath the frame and the bread rested on the frame? Or did the bread rest on the tabletop? But we definitely talk about the tabletop is what do you think this is? All this bouncing about here. All right, let's help. All right. So that's the brighter. Aval dafa elyon haya chaluk mishatim eindo bet kibul. Okay. Now, so now Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ledivrei haomer misgar tolamata yata. According to that opinion, that the, which seems to be the opinion which we're following, right? That was the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi, that the frame is beneath the table. So he says, Tavla amitapechet temeya. So this tavla, right? Look at Rashi Avia. Tavla amitapechet. What does it mean, this like slab that can change, turn sides? Shel yecholim lishtamesh betzad zo, kemo betzad zo. She chalaka hi mishnei tzadeha. It's a flat slab. So now we've got a flat slab. You think it's a derivative of halacha. If we say that the shulchan, the frame, was beneath the table, in other words, the table is just a flat slab, right? Now you think it's a halacha. From that we can see over here that if you've got a flat slab which can be used on both sides, like a piece of whatever wood, let's say, right? It can become tameh. Look at Rashi, tameya. Keshulchan shel migdash, like the shulchan in the migdash, shaya mekabel tuma, kenefash lekaman. Okay, and he says ledivra omer mizgarto lemala hayeta, but according to the man de Amar, that the shulchan had a frame above it, and therefore it became like a beit kibul, right? It had a receptacle, and it was framed, and it was had a recess in it. It wasn't just a flat slab, right? Tavla. We've got a question over there. We're not so sure about how to explain that in English about that mibailach. Right? In other words, we're not sure, right? We wouldn't be so sure. We haven't got a straightforward answer. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan saying, forget about the shulchan at the moment, the Beit HaMikdash. If we say, he works on the principle that we know that the shulchan in the Beit HaMikdash is mekabel tuma. Now, if we say that the shulchan is a flat slab, then we can learn from it. Any flat slab can be makabel tuma. Because we thought up until now that to become a tuma, you had to have a bait kibul. You had to have a receptacle. Right? There had to be like an indent that something could stay in it. According to the opinion that the shulchan had a misgeret around it, that's pashut that it became tuma because it had a bait kibul. We won't know what the answer would be with regards to a flat slab. Okay? I think that's a good one. So Gemara says like this, Michlal, we can infer from that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the shulchan bar kibulei tumahu. Right? You're telling me that the shulchan, right, if it was a bar kibulei, if the misgerib was above, the frame was above, so it would be tumah. But why? Kli eitz ha'asui lenacharu. We've got another aloha with regards to tumah. Right? And that's why we know that, for example, anything, a bigger teva, you know, or a mikdash, etc., something that's very heavy and rests on the floor, doesn't have a kabel tuma. I mean, we learned this before, it has to be like a sack. We'll see it in a second. It has to be able to be nital reikan kamelan, right? We'll see it in a second. And another halach, if you build something and the purpose of building it is to leave it in one place that you aren't allowed to move, you could move it, but you aren't allowed to move it, or you're not going to move it, also the makabel tuma. And the shulchan was built lenachat. You weren't allowed to move the shulchan, take it out of the mizbeach, out of the heichal. Right? Look at Rashi. Temeya kashulchan amigdash. Okay, let's leave out the we don't need that whole thing about too much midrash, we don't need. Okay. V'chol kli eitz ashul lenachat em makabel tuma. Ma taima, why doesn't it makabel tuma? Dumira sak, Baina, we need dumira sak. It has to be like a Hessian bag. Ma sak metaltel ma labor ekan. Just like a Hessian bag. Ari doesn't like tumah. Kohanim, you know, they don't like tumah. Right? So he says, ma sak metaltel ma labor ekan. Just like a bag you could carry when it's empty or full. Af kol mitaltel malei brekain. All of a sudden, to become kamel tuma has to be like a bag, has to be able to carry it around when it's empty or right? Now, the shittim mekubetz takes out over here, shulchan mitaltel malei brekain. The table you also carry around. He takes it out. He says, kedereish lakish, kedereish lakish, my dichtiv ala shulchan hatahor. How do that the shulchan is mekabel tuma? Because we said ala shulchan hatahor. Aye, the shulchan is called hatahor. This is a bit of a kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan wants to prove that how do we know about a tavla from the shulchan. And how do you know the shulchan, and Rabbi Yochanan assumes that there's some sort of premise here that the shulchan is mekabel tumah. We're saying, why should the shulchan be mekabel tumah? Right? It was lenachatu. Right? So he said like this. My dichtiv ala shulchan hatahor. Rabbi Yochanan says it's simple because we got a pasuk that says ala shulchan hatahor. Ah, if it's called on the shulchan tahor, michlal diketameh. You can't have a shulchan tahor if it can't become tameh because then it's just a shulchan. Right? In order for shulchan to be tahor, it has to also be tamei. We can only use the tahor shulchan. When it's tamei, we can't use it. Look at Rashi there, tahor. Michlal shu tamei, v'ha asui l'nachat. But the question is, how can we have that? How can the shulchan ever be tamei? It was made l'nachat, right? And therefore, it's not meant to be, m'she'ein. Look at Rashi here. She'ein magbin oto, v'ein adumi l'sak. You don't lift it up, and it's not similar to sak. He says, in a melamed shemagbin oto. We said you do lift it up. So the table was lifted up. When was it lifted up? Lo'olei regalim. People would come to the aliyah regil on the chagim. Umar in bolechem, they turn the bread. They don't take it out of the heichal, right? Because that was asur. You couldn't take the shulchan out of the heichal, but they could lift it up. They would like move it to the front of the door. Well, traveling in the midbar, it's a katuv. When traveling the midbar, then obviously you can't not move it. I mean, you can't do it, but that's not called moving. Moving is when the mizbeach, when the echal is built, and the shulchan is there, you can't take it in and out. I think you have to say that, right? Says yeah, they would bring it to the door and they'd show everybody else the bread. Vomrim lahem, they'd say to them, Kohanim, Reu chibatchem lifnei hamakom. Look at the chibah, how much Hashem loves you. And obviously what they're showing here is the miracle that the bread stayed fresh, right? Can you remember Rabbi Shur ben Levi? The Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Nes gadol na'asa belechem apanim. There was a massive miracle with the lechem apanim. What was that? Siduko kesiduro. Just like it was placed there, so it was taken away. Shneimar, and he's got a bit of a limud here in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, Vayiten lo hakoin, Kodesh ki lo haya sham lechem ki im lechem apanim. Right? This was with David HaMelech, remember? When David came, we saw this passage the other day. Right? And they gave him the food to eat because he right? Hamusarim milifnei Hashem. But look how he learns the pasuk. Hamusarim milifnei Hashem lasum lahem chok beyom hilakho. So he says like this. The pasuk says, lasum lahem. Right? Lechem chom. He said, lasum, sorry, mivnei Hashem, lasum lechem chom. Sorry, lasum lechem chom b'yom ilakho. He took away the hot bread on the day that it was taken. So on the day that it was taken off, it was still hot. See that? That was the miracle. It was still hot bread. Right? B'yom lasum lahem lechem chom b'yom ilakho. So Gemara says, wait a second. So now you're telling me over here that the shulchan is... Look at Rashi. The tipuk lay, the afilu ein magbin oto mekabel tuma. You want to tell me over here that the shulchan was mekabel tuma because they lifted up. So now you think they lifted up. It's not only the nachat asui. It's also made to be lifted up, and therefore it's like a stomach kli which can be mekabel tuma. So why do you want to go into those extents? The tipuk kli mishim tzipui. Rather prove for me from the tzipui, because what was the shulchan? Shulchan was wood. But gold plated, right? And gold, what is gold? Gold is a metal. And a metal is mekabel tuma. So now the big question is, do we go with regards tuma after the primary ingredient? That's not the right word. Well, the primary, what's it looking for? The primary content of this table, which would be the acacia wood. Or do we go after its plating? Because let's be honest, the gold was by far less gold than there was wood. So do we say, okay, so the Irish is more important. So do we say it's a wooden table, just it's got gold plating? Or do we say, no, it's a gold table. If it's a wooden table, so maybe it's not a Kabbalah Tumah. maybe if it's a gold table, it should definitely be Mekabel Tumah. Right? So he says, let's prove that it can be Mekabel Tumah from Mishum Tzipui, from its cover, from its plating. Look at Rashi. Mishum Tzipui Dahavei Matechet. Velo it kash lesak. And therefore we can't have any similarity yet to a sack. To the remember, the sack is had to be lifted up and empty and full. Afilu asui lenachat. And even there, if it was made lenachat to be rested in one place, doesn't matter. It's still makabel tuma. Right? Milotna. Then we learn in the Mishnah. So we really learned in the Mishnah over here. Right? This means the kashu masechet kailim. Right? Hashulchan v'hadulbiki. Right? That's a question. What does dulbiki means? A table and a dulbiki. Rashi says dulbiki. He says a flood store, whatever that means, shel or the ochlin alav. So ochlin alav, in my mind, seems to be like a little table. I saw this morning, I looked in the Gemara in English, they translated it as a chair. Right? So that threw me off a little bit. But anyhow, what's your Gemara translated as?
Tripod.
A tripod? And yours, Michael?
Yeah, a small table.
It
could
be a stool.
It's a stool. Maybe like a stool, like a foldable stool.
Sort of a folding chair.
They said chair, folding chair. Okay, it could be like so you can use it. Maybe so. I'm not sure what Rashi says, v'ochrin alav, that you sit in it to eat, or you put your foot in it to eat. Maybe you sit in it to eat, like a stool. Right, okay. But nonetheless, these shulchan and dolbeki, shenifchetu. What does it mean, shenifchetu? Nifchetu means it comes a bit small, means it's broken. Look at the Rabbeinu Gershom here. Rabbeinu Gershom, if you look, it's in line with the when the Tosfot changes gear to like second gear, just before it becomes very wide. She nifchetu. Velo nifchetu bo kemotzi rimon. Right? In other words, a part of its plating, right? You got this table, let's say, and it's broken a bit, but it's not broken enough that it will allow a rimon, a pomegranate, to fall through. So it's got a hole in it, but the hole is not big enough for pomegranate to fall through. It still hasn't lost its definition as a table. That's really what he's saying over here. Because things aren't going to all fall through them, right? You have to be something very small for it to fall through. Right? So he says, or shechipan b'shayish, or you chipan, covered it. What's the word I'm looking for? Plated it, right? He plated it with marble. Now, why is shayish relevant? Look at Rashi. Dehave leitzipu shelavanim. Because then it's stone cover. The kli avanim lo mekabel tumah. And we know that stone is not mekabel tumah. Right? That's one of the common mekabel tumah. So if you've got something made of stone, it's not mekabel tumah. If it's covered, plastered here, plated with shayish, it might become a shayish table. There would become a mekabel tumah. But what happened over here? You plated it with shayish, aval shvashir bahem makom hanachat kosot. But you left unplated enough place. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom, the next Rabbeinu Gershom there, right? V'shir bahen shelo chipan kulan. You didn't plate the whole thing, right? You left the bit of the table unplated. And how much was it unplating? Enough to be able to put a cup down. So that amount of space. Okay, like with my cup, that amount of space. You're still over there. Tmein. So these things over here, because of tzipui, ashulchan v'adobiki, that have either been broken a bit, they become tamei. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says makom anachat chatichot shai, chatichot shier. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says that you need to have enough place to put hanachat chatichot. Right? Chatichot over here. I think it's talking about like pieces of meat or something. Right? Like not just a cup, but like bigger pieces or not. So he says shayir in. If you left place, yes. Lo shayir lo. Look at Rashi there. Shayir in the kevan de ishtar bei kulehai. Right, since you left so much place to begin with, the chazid melachtan rishona, it's still wooden table. It's good in like the initial purposes. Mekabel tuma. Lo shayir lo. But if you never left so much, it was much less. It was the vast majority was covered. It wasn't broken at all. Alma azinan batrat tzipu. So Rashi says, yeah, we seem to be a gang there. That what's the question? Do we go after the original table or after the plaster? We go after the plaster. So if we go after the plaster, the shulchan was, after the plating, the shulchan was plated in gold. So the shulchan was plated in gold. It's a mekabel tumah. Why do we need this lifting up, not lifting up? Okay, and on that we're going to carry on tomorrow.